And we pray that you would give us eyes to see what you would have us to see today. Give us ears to hear. And Lord, let us be willing to change our lives the way that you would speak to us today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when I was in high school, I loved politics. And I used to have all these different political discussions with my classmates. And what I loved the most was just how passionate people became. And to get them really riled up, I used to take extreme positions of what I believed just to see their reaction. Then when I got older, I thought about joining the Foreign Service and working as a diplomat. I took the Foreign Service exam. I even set up an interview in Washington. As I prayed about it, however, I felt like the Lord was speaking to me. He was speaking to me about, you need to understand what this is going to require of you. And I had a strong sense that I'd be constantly be put in circumstances where my ultimate loyalties would be tested. And so I better know where those loyalties lie. To whom was I most loyal? The Lord or someone else? And as I thought about it more and more, I realized that God did have a diplomatic mission for me. But it wasn't to represent this nation, even though this is the nation where I was born, but to represent a kingdom, the kingdom of God. And once I fully grasped that, I took my name out of consideration for the Foreign Service. Now, not everyone is called to be a pastor, but all of us who are part of the church have a diplomatic mission. Today we're going to complete our sermon series called The Church of Your Dreams. And remember, this is a sermon series where we've been looking at, well, how does a healthy church function in light of Scripture? What does Scripture have to say to us? And today we're going to see that a healthy church is one that grasps its role as ambassadors for Christ. So I invite you to turn your Bibles to our New Testament reading, which was 2 Corinthians 5, and we're looking at verses 14 through 21. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 through 21. Now, in 2 Corinthians 5:20, Paul describes the ministry of the church this way. Here's what he says. He says, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, ambassadors are pretty important people, aren't they? You know, they're diplomats of the highest rank who formally represent their head of state with the full authority of the government with them. Now, in the world, ambassadors don't necessarily have the highest reputations. In the 17th century, Sir Henry Wotton, who served as an ambassador for England, once said, "An ambassador is an honest man sent abroad to lie and intrigue for the benefit of his country." Now, ambassadors for Christ are different. We're not asked to lie or steal or pretend to be someone that we're not. We are not selected on the basis of our knowledge or our smarts. God doesn't make ambassadors out of the biggest givers. He makes ambassadors out of those who are lost and have been found. Now, all ambassadors have a mission to a foreign land. And when they come to these foreign lands, they have to present their credentials to the chief of state of the host country. The documents identify them as representatives of their governments and empowered to speak on behalf of their government. As ambassadors of Christ, we have credentials too. We have credentials that demonstrate that we represent the kingdom of God. But they're not credentials made of paper. They're spiritual credentials that identify us as citizens belonging to God. Notice what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:16. He says, "From now on, we regard no one according to the flesh." And by this he means, in light of what has occurred in our life, Through faith in Jesus Christ, he no longer knows, assesses, or regards any disciple of Jesus from a human perspective, because everyone who is in Christ is now a new creation. We're no longer the same. We're a new creation. In the first creation, Adam rebelled against God, and he sowed, as a result, disobedience into the genetic code of all humanity. In the new creation, Christ is the new Adam, the firstborn of a new creation who died for us. Those incorporated into him have been made new and have become his representatives, representatives of the kingdom of God on earth. That's you and me. And the credentials that mark us as ambassadors are the Holy Spirit that is given to all of God's children. Here's what Paul writes in Romans 8:9. He says, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. The Holy Spirit is God's seal, and this seal establishes us in Christ, and it identifies us as belonging to him. Now, before ambassadors go out, they have to prepare for their mission. There's a time of preparation, a time of briefing, and so must we be prepared for this mission. One of the ways Jesus prepared for his mission was that he prayed. If you look at Luke 6, Jesus spent the whole night praying before he chose his 12 apostles. He recognized that he needed to have discernment, discernment on who to choose. But then he also needed the Lord to soften their hearts so they would be ready to receive what the Lord would be asking of them. And if it's true for Jesus that Jesus had to pray, that Jesus had to go to those quiet places to pray, then the same is true for us. We must pray for our mission fields. So here's a discipline that as good disciples of Jesus, we can easily follow. And it doesn't require putting yourself really out there, but it's so important to help changing the spiritual atmosphere. It's so important to just begin preparing that mission field. And that is to prayer walk. To walk your neighborhoods. Just walk your neighborhoods, and as you're taking a walk, praying for the peace of your neighbors, praying for blessings upon your neighbors. Pray for healing. Pray for strong marriages. Pray for financial blessings. And pray that the hearts of the people in your neighborhood would be softened. Pray that God would give you opportunities for conversations, for friendships, and invitations. Ambassadors go to foreign lands, and when they do, they deliver messages on behalf of their governments, and they do this to the nations that they are sent. And as ambassadors, we've been given a message too. If you look at the 19th verse of 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says it is a message of reconciliation. You know, the word reconciliation in Greek is actually a compound word that indicates a change in social relationship of people previously hostile to each other. People who have been reconciled with each other exchange a relationship of hostility for one of friendship and peace. So up until the time of Christ, human beings lived in hostility with God. The relationship between God and humanity was broken. And then God acted in human history. He sent his Son into the world to take on our sins. And now Paul says in verse 19 of this passage, in Christ, God is reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. In Christ, human beings no longer have to live in rebellion to God. We can have a relationship with the living God and find forgiveness from our sins, freedom from guilt and shame. God has a wonderful future for humanity when we put our faith in Jesus. That's the message of reconciliation. You know, people love stories of reconciliation. We love movies where there's reconciliation. There's something inside the human heart that loves reconciliation between previous enemies. In January 2001, Seiko Sakamoto, a Japanese plasterer, was in a Tokyo subway, and he fell down in the path of a train that was right before him. And a Korean student named Lee Soo-hoon leaped down onto the tracks to try to save him. Both Hoon and Sakamoto were killed. Now, the selfless act by this Korean student created all kinds of conversations in Japan. What would cause a Korean to go and save a Japanese person? And you have to realize there's a lot of hostility between the Japanese and Koreans ever since World War II. But in response to the selfless act of this Korean, many Japanese, including the Prime Minister of Japan, openly expressed sorrow for the stereotypes that they have of Koreans and began to talk about reconciliation. One 62-year-old Japanese man said, "I felt a kind of shame. A young foreigner sacrificed his life for a Japanese. This is not an easy thing to do." As ambassadors of Christ, we share our stories of reconciliation. You know, each of us has these stories. And our stories talk about the time when we once stood in rebellion against God, when we once hurt other people by our actions. And then we met Jesus, and we saw his power in our lives. And now we live as completely different people, people who are now dependent on Jesus, moment by moment, day by day. We've been reconciled to God. People want to hear these stories. Our world is looking for answers, and God has placed us here at this time and place to give directions and to speak truth to our world. And that begins not with a theologically correct presentation of the gospel, but simply being a real friend to the people that God has put into our lives, to genuinely care about them, to genuinely love them. So be yourself with the people that you meet, and just let the Christ in you come through. Christ has transformed you. He's made you a new creation. And you can trust that as you trust him, that Christ will come out. C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity wrote, "The church exists for nothing else but to draw people into Christ, to make them little Christs. And if they are not doing that, all the cathedrals, clergy, missions, sermons, even the Bible itself are simply a waste of time. God became man for no other purpose." When they speak, you know, ambassadors can't allow their personal agendas to get in the way. You know, they can't allow what they personally believe to in any way influence the message that they've been given by their governments. They represent that message faithfully, whether they agree to it or not. And suddenly, the message that we share with those outside of the church must focus on Christ and Christ alone. I want you to turn to an important passage. It's 1 Corinthians, just the next book away, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we're going to be looking at verses 20 through 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 3 verses 20 through 23. This passage lays out how Paul approached sharing the gospel, sharing the message of Jesus. This was his approach. He said, to the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside of the law, I became one outside of the law, not being outside of the law, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside of the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. And I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them in its blessings. Paul understood that he could potentially alienate people from Christ. That if he was concerned about his own agenda, he could do that. To the Jews, he would never flaunt his freedom from the law because he knew that if he did that, it would immediately alienate him from his Jewish audience. And so he would act as a Jew under the law, even though himself, he didn't live that way, in order that he would not inhibit the message of Christ to them. It is so easy for us to mix our message of Christ with things that have nothing to do with Christ. You know, Muslims are often repelled by the message of Christianity because they think being a Christian means wearing skimpy clothes and watching sexually graphic movies. Because they look at Western culture and that's what they see. And many young people reject Christianity because they think it means they have to become Republicans and vote for Trump. Unfortunately, you laugh, but it's true. As ambassadors, we can't allow anything to get in the way of the unchurched hearing the gospel. We have to take the time to understand what's important to other people and literally become like them. Become like them so that we don't inhibit them from hearing the gospel. We become Christ to them. The world needs Christ. They don't need any of our other stuff that we think is important. We have to understand where they are in order that we might share simply the message of Christ and what Jesus has done for us. You know, over the last 10 years, St. James, we've forgotten what it means to be ambassadors for Christ. We've forgotten what it means that we have a mission to reach the world. That's why we exist. That's why we're changing our services in next week, because we're trying to reach the world. We allowed other priorities to get in the way. And as a result, we stopped inviting people to church. But it doesn't have to stay that way. We don't have to stay this way. We can again become a thriving church, reaching the nations for Christ. But each one of us is needed. Each one of us is essential. If you've gotten anything out of this series, I hope you understand that each of you is important, that each of you is needed in the body of Christ. And so I encourage you, firstly, and everyone can do this, start praying for your mission field. Pray for your mission field, the unchurched people in your life and those in the neighborhood where you live. Pray very specifically this year. Commit to doing this. Pray that the Lord would use you to bring one conversion to Christ this year. Just pray that very specifically and be diligent in praying for that, and the Lord will use you. And second, start making invitations to your unchurched friends and families to come to St. James. To help facilitate this, every fifth Sunday, so every month where we have five Sundays, the fifth week, and we're going to begin May 31st, we will have a Mission Sunday where you're going to have an invitation card and you're going to be inviting an unchurched person to come. We want everyone to invite one unchurched person. This place would be filled so rapidly if each one of us do this. So you have until May 31st. Start praying. We will have the invitation cards for you. And we're going to do this every time. So it'll be four times during the year. And it will be a time of just introducing people to Jesus. We'll be sharing testimonies of the power of what God is done in our lives. And you know what? This church, over the last year, there are so many wonderful testimonies of God's power and healing. God is working amongst us. And God does these things not merely to lift us up, but he does that in order to bring people to him. Fast-growing churches grow because its members are constantly inviting people. During this series, I've tried to lay out what a healthy church looks like. And we've seen that it is a church where its members are family. You know, that we are a family. We've seen that it is a church, the church is one in which every member is growing in discipleship to Jesus, in which the spiritual gifts of every member are identified, embraced, and employed, and in which every member now is operating as an ambassador of Christ. This is not just some ideal, but it's what St. James is becoming. This is the new St. James. And I want to invite all of you to be a part of this. It's so important that you embrace this and have this, grasp this vision. And as a step toward that, I'm asking every member to renew their commitment to St. James. If you call yourself a member of St. James, I'm asking you to renew your commitment to St. James. So at this point, I'm going to have the ushers pass out a sheet. Paul, go ahead. Start passing them out. So you're going to receive a form, a sheet. You're going to get two sheets of paper. And on top of it, it says, my commitment to St. James. And one of them is in black and white. And I'm asking you to read through it and sign it. And the other is in color with gold on the side of it. And that one you get to take home and keep. Now, there's nothing on this that is shocking, but it lays out our responsibilities as members to protect and to support the church. Again, you can sign it now, or you can bring it back next week or the week following. But I want everyone to take it home and sign it and look at these things, because it's basically laying out, this is what it means to be a healthy church. These are the things that we do. And everything on it either comes from scriptures, it comes from our baptismal covenant, or it comes from the canons of the Anglican Church in North America. Within a few hundred years of Paul, most Romans became Christians. But it wasn't through professional missionaries conveying the message. But according to Rodney Stark in How Christianity Conquered Rome, many sociologists have now recognized that most conversions were produced by the rank and file members who shared their faith with their friends and family. You are in your neighborhood to be a light to your neighbors. You live where you are. You have the friends that you have because you are called to be a light to them. When we conclude our services each week, we declare something like, let us go forth in the name of Christ. And it's a reminder that wherever we go, we represent him. So let us, from this day forward, be faithful ambassadors of Jesus. Amen.